This is Untitled MMA.
Untitled MMA Podcast, October 16th, 2019, coming off of UFC Tampa. I like saying Tampa that way. It makes it feel fancier. Thoughts?
Okay. Yeah, I don't like it.
What the fuck is going on here?
I don't know. What is going on?
Okay, we're back. But yeah, coming off of UFC Tampa, big win for Joanna Jacek, which we'll get into shortly. Very excited about that. Bryce is over the moon excited, one might say. About Joanna Jacek's big win. I'm Buju.
I am Brendan.
I'm Bryce. Are we also going to touch on UFC 243, just very bare bones, since we're a week late now?
We did take a week off. It's been a long day without you, my friends, and we'll tell you all about it when we see you again, which is now. So we're going to tell you about UFC 243. Israel Adesanya gets the big win over Robert Whittaker, takes the undisputed UFC middleweight championship of the world. I picked against Israel Adesanya, but I think I was pretty clear that I thought he could win that fight, but I did not think that he would win it in the way that he did. He made it look pretty easy.
Me and Bryce, right? Buju, not right.
Yeah.
It's rare.
I don't know about rare, but
it's rare.
I would say that might have been the most impressive performance of the year. Just top to bottom. He wasn't really in any trouble. And it was at the level that it was at, against a guy that went 10 rounds with Yoel Romero and won both fights, technically.
I don't think that's a terrible take. It was definitely
Your thoughts, Brendan?
Israel Adesanya's best performance.
I agree.
The fact that Israel Adesanya went out there and had his best performance against the best fighter that he's fought, he's the reverse Donald Cerrone.
That's true.
When the bright lights are on, Israel Adesanya shines.
That's why Donald Cerrone hasn't won a UFC title, and Adesanya did it in a year and a half.
That's the craziest part of the whole thing, is going from not being in the UFC to being the fucking champion of the world in 19 months or whatever the fuck. That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
It's Conor status.
Conor did it in 2.5. Fun fact.
That's like winning the fucking, being the MVP of the NFL in your rookie year almost. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Honestly,
does not happen. And that, like, he hasn't really faltered in the run. Like, the Kelvin Gastelum fight was the only really close one he had.
Mm-hmm. And I still thought that it was clear that he won it.
Same.
Yes, sir.
So how long does it take for that was a poor way to word that. How long does Israel Adesanya stay undefeated?
Honestly, I don't know, because I don't think any of the middleweights behind him are going to beat him. I guess if he goes up in weight, which I do not recommend whatsoever, he will probably lose.
Who has the best shot to beat him at middleweight?
Whoever the best wrestler is.
Yoel, probably. And I don't see Yoel getting back up to that spot.
I don't think Yoel would do it. I think that that Paulo Costa fight, to me, showed that Yoel Romero isn't going to be a champion.
Washed?
He does. He washed for Yoel Romero. That's still very good for other people. But
yeah.
I just think that he was way too tentative in that fight and just not willing to do crazy athletic things that he needs to do in order to win fights.
And even saying that, like, Yoel Romero's probably the worst matchup for Israel, but I don't even know if I'd pick Yoel Romero in that fight.
I know I wouldn't, because, like I said, he's too tentative and he doesn't use his wrestling.
I can't. Who the fuck else is even at middleweight right now?
Jared Cannonier, baby.
Jared Cannonier, Paulo Costa,
Kelvin.
Do any of those people beat Israel? It sure doesn't feel like it to me.
I don't think so. I think that right now he's the cream of the crop, and we'll see what happens going forward. But
it's crazy.
It's crazy how a year and a half ago, or after his debut fight, I think we had talked about him because he was he had some hype coming into the UFC, and so we covered him and talked about, like, it was an impressive performance and things like that. But it's crazy to think that a guy that we just thought had an impressive debut as a champion a year and a half later, we don't see a clear guy to beat him.
Somebody in the length of this podcast has gone into the UFC and won the belt. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts.
So yeah, shout out Israel Adesanya. What else happened at UFC 243?
He had a wild-ass walkout. He had the dancing and shit.
At the beginning of it, I was like, I don't know about this. It turned out pretty well, though. Even if it's something that I don't particularly enjoy, I like that they fucking put some personality into shit every once in a while.
And I'm glad he won after doing it, not doing all that crazy shit just to get his ass whooped.
Yeah, the memes would have been pretty bad if he did that dance and walk out and then lost.
Yeah.
Did Robert Whittaker do anything?
I don't think so. No. I think he kind of just did his thing.
Robert Whittaker's going to Robert Whittaker.
I like Robert Whittaker. He's a boring fellow.
He is. And, I mean, this was the UFC's dream scenario.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Technically break the record for most attended UFC event.
I don't give a shit about that.
Huh?
I don't give a shit about that.
Yeah, but, I mean, it said that it did.
Yeah.
And so you have the much more marketable guy beat the less marketable guy. They're both killers. They're gonna fight again at some point, I guarantee.
What is Israel's ceiling as far as being a draw? Like, if you had to compare him to another fighter? Is it Brock Lesnar? Is it John Jones?
I think John Jones is a good one, but I think he could be better than John Jones because he talks more.
Jones isn't a crazy draw. Like, I mean, he's one of the biggest in the company, but I mean, he's not even the same hemisphere as fucking Conor McGregor.
Right. I don't know. I truly don't know if there's going to be anyone that pulls Conor McGregor numbers, at least for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Just that was kind of a perfect storm.
Brendan?
I agree. I think his ceiling is John Jones as well.
I think, though, it'll be higher than John Jones.
You had to put a number, like it's the old, you'd have to do it in the old buy rate system because
right. The
ESPN Plus thing. But if you had to put a number on how many draws is Israel Adesanya worth right now, and what is his ceiling? Right now, it feels like he's like 400,000 already to me.
Well, see, I was thinking like 350, but I mean, 4 isn't much of a stretch. I definitely think that for a big fight, I think it could be like up to like a million.
Yeah.
But I think that's give max, or take his absolute max, and it's going to take a good dance partner to sell that with.
But at one point, I probably would have said the same thing about Conor McGregor. So,
yeah.
He doesn't have the talk game like Conor does, so that hinders his ability to reach a higher potential.
He's so much better than most people in the UFC at the microphone part of it, at the speaking part of it, but he's still light years behind Conor McGregor, so.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's crazy that like Chael Sonnen was the first one to do that, and Conor was like the next big name to do it and surpassed him as far as he did.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, Conor did it so much better,
and Conor wins. So,
I think though that I don't know how long everyone's going to stay in the UFC, but I could definitely see a world where Israel Adesanya is the biggest pay-per-view draw in the company.
Yeah, I think that we probably will get to that point. Because no way Conor McGregor fights more than 2 more times. There's no way Khabib fights more than 3 more times.
Mm-hmm.
GSP might fight again. We'll talk about that later.
Oh, God. I don't even know that.
But yeah, Israel Adesanya, big win. I think on his way to being a huge star for the UFC, if the UFC plays it correctly. And so far they have. So hats off to them.
I think too. Also, at this point, it's more so in his hands because he built himself all the way up to here. So unless the UFC screws it up, he's going to be huge.
Tai Tuivasa stinks. That was another
absolutely.
Dan Hooker
was very impressive.
Beat Ally Quinta. What does Brennan call him? Ally Quinta?
A.I. Quinta, I think.
Either way. I feel like that was Ally Quinta. I almost fucked myself up there. Finally getting exposed for the actual fighter that he is. Like, he actually looked like who I always expect him to be. He seems like he overperforms all the time. Yes. Just a very mediocre, middle-of-the-road lightweight. And that showed against Dan Hooker. I think that's it for UFC 243, correct?
Yep.
So moving on to UFC Tampa this past weekend. The fancier version for us fancy folk. First fight I want to touch on that card was not the main event. We're going to do that last. James Vick. Hey, this guy stinks.
Yeah. I don't feel like I tell people that they should retire very often, but he legitimately needs to. And it's more so just not just because he keeps losing, but because he has absolutely no chin. It's dust.
Did you see how James Vick lost this weekend?
Negative.
All right, I'm going to pull this up.
I definitely sent it in the Twitter.
You sent a lot of things, though, so sometimes stuff gets skipped.
There's an upkick knockout. It was wild.
James Vick sucked then. He sucks now.
Brendan's live reaction to the James Vick knockout from this weekend. Ready for this, folks?
If he can pull up. There we go.
And right now, James Vick is on top. Looks like he's in a pretty good spot, right? Boom.
He has no chin.
That's terrible. How does that happen?
Yeah. That's a fight that was 10, 15 seconds away from being stopped the other way. Because I think that skill-wise, he's probably... I still think he's a top 10 skill-wise in lightweight.
Listen to the sound of this kick, though, to be fair. Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't loud enough, but you get my point. Look up the finish. Yeah. Crack. That's nasty. Yeah. But still, how do you lose to that?
Yeah, for sure. I think that because... I mean, his chin is just done and dusted. It's absolutely gone. And yeah, he's been hit with really good shots to put him out, but I mean, he's still going out like his body is shut off for minutes.
And I feel like this is another opportunity for Brendan to gloat because he was very much never on the James Vick train while we were very much on the James Vick train for a while.
Like I said, he sucked then, he sucks now. I didn't really realize he had this bad of a chin until now, but
He didn't show it when he was coming up.
Yeah.
But that's what happened.
He's got melted three times in a row, it feels like.
Mm-hmm. Or if not, three of his last four for sure.
So, fuck James Vick, honestly.
Yeah, I'm done. And then I saw people on Twitter talking about it couldn't have happened to a worse guy because of some suspect tweets, I guess. So, he might be canceled, sis.
He also associates with suspect people. So,
That's not great.
Cub Swanson, big win in the co-main event. A big, unexpected win over Crone Gracie. Definitely would have expected Crone to get that to the ground and submit Cub Swanson. He couldn't get it to the ground to save his goddamn life. Why don't these fucking jiu-jitsu people learn how to shoot a goddamn double leg?
Yeah, I don't know. I still don't have ESPN Plus, so I didn't watch this event. Plus, I was also at a wedding reception, so I was just reading through Bloody Elbow's live tweets of the event. And they even picked Cub because they didn't think that Crone had good takedowns. And it baffles me that they are so bad at taking guys down.
The Gracies have been around.
Your whole craft is getting them, once they're on the ground, you can kill them a million ways. But you can't get it to the ground in a conventional setting. What are you doing?
The Gracies have been around for a million years and haven't bothered to learn to shoot a fucking double leg yet.
Yeah, it's pretty trash.
Is that the death of jiu-jitsu as a... How do I want to word this? Like, is there still a place in MMA for guys who have jiu-jitsu as their main discipline? Because it doesn't feel like they're all that successful anymore.
I would say that being well-rounded is more important now than ever, for sure. But with guys like Damian Maia, I mean, what, 2 years ago he was fighting for a belt? I think because obviously he's still been a jiu-jitsu guy this whole time. He hasn't started knocking guys out. It's a matter of changing your game and improving it to the point that maximizes your efficiency to getting the takedowns. So that's learning how to shoot a double leg, working your strikes to where you can get inside and shoot for that. And so I think that would be where Crone should work more. And it sounds like he was competent on the feet, but just not quite good enough. And Cub has pretty good takedown defense for that division.
I mean, he was competent. Like, he didn't look like he was fucking absolutely lost, but he also got his fucking ass whooped, too.
Yeah.
Like, he would have never, if that fight would have stayed standing for 300 days, Cub Swanson would have never been in trouble.
And yeah, so I would say that because Damian Maia had a similar issue. Earlier in his UFC career, once guys started figuring out all this dude can do is jiu-jitsu. So he started changing his game to working his strikes into working for him to get the takedowns.
And obviously guys can still come from jiu-jitsu and be successful in MMA. But we're definitely past the era of being strictly jiu-jitsu and having success. Like, you're going to pick up wins here and there. Ryan Hall's going to beat BJ Penn a million times out of a million. But Ryan Hall's never going to be champion because he can't do anything else.
Yep, I agree. If you were a specialist at one thing and were very, very mediocre at everything else, what would you be a specialist in?
Wrestling.
Knockout.
Knockout
specialist? Striking? Yeah.
What kind of striking?
Kickboxing?
Kickboxing? I think Muay Thai is the best stand-up discipline. Is that what do you guys think of that?
Well, the way I think of it is Israel's a kickboxer, so.
I also look at Ioane Jędrzejczyk, who is a proven champion. There's Muay Thai.
Was a proven champion.
I mean, she proved that her she proved her medal.
Israel's on top now. JJ will never hold the belt ever again, so.
Ooh. I'm looking forward to, I'm sure that we'll talk about that in like a moment. What do you think is the best stand-up discipline, though, Buju, before we move on?
It's hard because I honestly don't know the difference between Muay Thai and, I don't even know how to say that still. I don't know the difference between that and kickboxing.
As far as I know, it's the use of your knees and your elbows a lot more. And your stance is much, much different.
I don't know. I don't know enough. I don't know what the difference is.
And also the clinch.
To me,
the clinch is a Muay Thai thing.
If you're picking one thing in general, though, you want wrestling because wrestling, you can neutralize somebody and you can bail yourself out if you put yourself in a bad situation doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
Like if Khabib never fucking threw a punch, he'd probably still be the lightweight champion right now.
Yeah.
The way I think of it is how much UFC champion's main thing is wrestling.
A lot.
Yeah.
Also historically a lot.
Stipe's a wrestler?
I mean, he was a wrestler.
But he doesn't wrestle.
Not much in the cage, no. I'd say he used his wrestling to beat Francis Ngannou, though.
Yeah.
I feel like even though wrestling may be a lot of people's background, they don't even use it in the fights. Like Stipe, he doesn't wrestle. John Jones doesn't wrestle. I just feel like I'm saying wrestle so weird.
But the fact that
I think also part of it is that if grappling is your strong suit, you can force that agenda. But if you'd rather keep it standing, there's nothing that someone can do like against a John Jones if they want to take him down.
Yeah,
they're not going to be able to because he's so good.
Like if John Jones wasn't a wrestler. Like if he was just, if the only skills he had are his stand up skills, maybe he doesn't beat Chael Sonnen. You know what I mean? That's how big of a difference the wrestling can make.
Yeah, but
I get what you're saying. Where people aren't necessarily like John Jones isn't going in there and wrestling his way to it.
Exactly.
Yeah, they aren't smothering guys to decisions.
That's why.
I think it's the most crucial skill to have in your repertoire. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's like a dumb decision. I'm just sticking with my gun to saying striking is because that's where the fights start and that's typically where it ends.
And if you're a great striker who can keep it standing, you're going to have some fucking success too. Israel Adesanya, Ioane Jędrzejczyk. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
So
it's just almost a matter of opinion.
No wrong answers here, friends.
I was just curious what you guys thought.
And you know what they say. Opinions. They're like assholes.
Everybody has one.
And they all taste good.
And they smell great.
But not to just speak on Gracie, this is a big win for Cub. He's coming off four losses, so him getting a dub for huge the one win. Time.
Pretty fucking awesome. If he lost, he was gone, without a doubt.
Go Cub, go. It sounds like he's interested in a rematch with Duho Choi, and Duho Choi's interested in a rematch with him, which I'm fucking all for. Let's do that.
Yeah Cub I'm finally down. Can get another fight that's not somebody that's way out of his fucking league, even though I think Duho Choi is definitely better than Cub. And it's also not a fight where it hurts him stylistically.
I think it's another dub for Cub.
Honestly, he won the first one. I mean, the reason that it was such a good fight is because Duho Choi just did not get knocked out. Because Cub Swanson wasn't ever in that much trouble in that fight.
I don't expect the rematch to be as good as the original. It seems like rematches never live up to the hype in that way. And it's such a fucking high bar to get back to anyway.
It's definitely not going to surpass the first fight, but I feel like it's definitely going to be a fun, interesting
fight. I hope they do it. I'm all for it, and I hope Cub wins.
Oh, hell yeah. Love Cub.
And I think he does win.
Mm-hmm.
Go, Cub, go.
Top 25 all-time favorite fighter.
Top 25 sure. all-time.
All-time is a lot of people, though, so.
Is it? For you?
For you? Fuck you.
But I'm just saying, like, you don't like as many guys as I like.
I'm just saying, that's nice. All-time. That's nice. I don't want to say 15 and just push it.
Speaking of top fighters of all time, Ioannian Jacek gets a huge win in the main event against Michelle Waterson. Could give her a title shot. She could still be one win away. All depends how things shake out. But an extremely impressive performance. Looked like the Ioannian Jacek of old. Was in trouble for 1 second where Ioannian Jacek had her in, or where Michelle Waterson had her in a rear naked choke. Looked like Ioana might have been in trouble. Michelle had the hooks in. But Jacek fought it off, got back to her feet, and did what Ioannian Jacek does. Awesome performance. Huge win. Ioana's back. For sure. 100% back. And getting the title back.
Ioana is back. But I feel like having her opponent be Waterson, it's like you're just diving into a hype train right now.
I agree. Because
Waterson.
I tweeted this too. When this fight got announced, I fucking laughed. On this show, I said it's an easy win for Ioannian Jacek, which it was. But when you have to win the fight you're in. And she went in there against Michelle Waterson, who I think Ioannian Jacek is significantly better than. If they fight 100 times, Ioana wins 98 of them. And Ioana whooped her fucking ass like she needs to do in those type of fights. With a broken foot, she went in there and won 5 rounds.
Which is definitely, what's the word? It's definitely an accomplishment, I guess you could say. But even though you're doing what you're supposed to do, that doesn't necessarily make you the best fighter all of a sudden. You know what I mean? Somebody whooping up a lesser fighter's ass compared to going to fight a champion, it's not the same expectations or the same.
But do we know that Zhang Weili or Weili Zhang or whatever her name is that much better than Michelle Waterson?
Who the fuck knows? She's so new into her career.
I'm going to be honest. Haven't seen her fight yet. Have not watched Weili Zhang Weili.
Same.
I know that I have. I just can't remember what one of her fights I watched.
That's why I said I don't know. But like a Rose again or.
But I'm just saying, like, Michelle Waterson, while she's definitely not the best fighter in the world, she's one of the best strawweights in the world.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And, like, that was a necessary step on the way back to the championship for Ioana. I don't know if it was the final step before the title fight or not. But, like, Michelle Waterson's fought the best of the best. She's lost most of those. But, like, Ioana went in there and did what she had to do against Michelle Waterson. She looked as impressive as she needed to, if not more impressive than she needed to. And I don't know that Zhang is that much better than Michelle Waterson, where she's going to be a roadblock for Ioana. If Ioana looks like she did again on Saturday, I don't think there is a better fighter at women's strawweight than Ioana.
It depends which fighter shows up on which day, though.
True.
Oh, for sure. To counter that last point that you made, I thought that Ioana was as good as she had ever been when she fought Rose, both, especially the second time. Because the first time you could say that she got caught, and I mean, it happens. But the second time, I mean, they went 5 rounds, and Rose was just better.
Where's Rose?
I don't know. She might be farming, for all I know. Farming carrots.
Is Rose in the division right now?
I mean, technically, she's number 2.
But where is she?
I don't know. You're asking me questions I don't have answers.
I'm just saying, if Rose isn't in this division, then Ioana's the best, no question, in my opinion.
What's the other girl's name? Former champ?
Andrade. Ioana schooled Andrade.
Yeah, she did.
MMA math doesn't add up, but Andrade beat Rose, so.
I thought that, for one, I didn't think that Andrade was winning that fight and was not gonna if she didn't slam Rose on her head.
Fair.
I've said that, and I picked Andrade to win it, but she was not in the same classes. Huh?
I think we all did.
Yeah, probably. But she was just not in the same class as Rose at all. And that's why I thought that Weili Zhang was going to win, or Zhang Weili as it is on UFC.com.
I think as good as I think Ioana did look on Saturday, and as much as I do think she is the best fighter in that division, granted with some bias, I don't think Ioana is one of those fighters where confidence is almost everything for her. If she's on a roll and she's feeling it, it's a different Ioana than we saw in the second Rose fight. I think she had a lot of questions about herself in the second Rose fight coming off of the loss to Rose, the knockout loss. I think that plays a big factor in Ioana fights.
I think the biggest challenge for her that she hasn't fought like is Tatiana Suarez, because she's an Olympic caliber wrestler. Because she's fought Claudia Gadelha and Jessica Andrade, who are very good grapplers in their own right, but they're not like an Olympic caliber wrestler like Tatiana Suarez is, who's been able to just smother all of her opponents and do like DC type of things to women strawweights. I think that she might very much beat Weili Zhang because it's a striker versus striker, and I can't, with the exception of Rose's different style, and again, I haven't seen too much of Weili Zhang fight to know for sure what she brings to the table standing up that might pose a challenge to Joanna. I think that standing up, she's probably the best. Besides maybe Rose, like I said, because I thought she was at her best and she lost.
We haven't seen Joanna face somebody at the level of Tatiana Suarez, like you said, because there isn't anybody else in the division at that level. But the wrestling she has faced, like, has not been an issue.
Yeah, but she's also made, Tatiana Suarez has made everyone else's wrestling look like child's play when they fight her, so but there's also that.
And if Joanna faces Tatiana Suarez and stuffs a couple takedowns, Tatiana Suarez is fuckerooned. So
it's very possible, but she's got to stuff them.
We'll see what happens if that fight were to happen.
Yeah, if she wins, if...
Is Tatiana Suarez... That, oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Is she, Suarez undefeated in the UFC?
I think she's undefeated, period.
Oh.
But she's ranked 3. Joanna's ranked 4. As of now, the rankings haven't yet been updated from last week's results.
Joanna's going to jump up to 2, and she's got name recognition. So if she wants...
She's getting the next shot.
I would be
There's
surprised
no doubt
if she
in
did.
My mind.
I would be surprised if she didn't.
I would not whatsoever. Because, I mean, who else? Because the two.
What are the rankings? Andrade, Rose?
Andrade, Rose, Suarez, Joanna.
Andrade shouldn't be number one.
I don't know.
I know she's got a win over Rose, but I don't know. It feels like, if anything, Rose should be one.
I don't know. Because, I mean, Rose's last fight was her losing, so.
So was Andrade.
But Andrade beat Rose.
And Suarez is undefeated, apparently.
Yeah. That, I think, is a matter of level of competition that she's faced up to now. But yeah,
hasn't fought Joanna and Jacek.
You're right. Joanna hasn't fought her. Maybe Joanna would be ranked like 10th after she fights Suarez.
This is a stone-cold guarantee. Like, I will put something on the line. Joanna and Jacek will be champion again.
If I'm going to say that if she fights Weili Zhang, maybe. But I don't... As of now, I wouldn't pick her against Tatiana Suarez.
Do we want to put Because
I have seen her fight like 3 times.
Do we want to put something on the line?
No.
Doesn't have to be money.
No, I don't want to do any nefarious activities.
You're a coward.
Maybe.
Brendan, thoughts?
I haven't watched Tatiana Suarez fight, so I don't know who'd win in that fight, but I'll definitely pick JJ against Zhang.
Fair enough.
But I wouldn't pick her over Rose. If I was Rose, which would be bad for the UFC, but great for Rose, come back, fight one more time, make it an official retirement fight, and retire as champ. Because Rose wins.
This is something I wanted to touch on as far when we were talking about Israel Adesanya, and I forgot about it. I feel like sometimes MMA Twitter makes up outrage. If, like, everybody... After Israel won, it felt like there was a swelling of people going against the Israel haters, where I don't feel like I've seen any Israel haters. You get what I'm saying?
I think that the haters come out in the comment or the replies to these bigger MMA names, like the journalists and things like that. Because I've definitely seen them, but it seems like it got blown way out of proportion. Because I do know what you're talking about.
It's just like, I mean, anybody in the spotlight is going to have people who don't like them.
Yes.
Like, Daniel Cormier seems like the nicest fucking guy in the world, and there's people who don't like him for some reason.
Like Brendan.
I knew it was coming. It was bound to fucking
like
happen.
Juani and Jacek, Rose Namajunas, Amanda Nunes, Ronda Rousey. All these people who are seemingly very likable, some more than others. People dislike them. Why is it when it comes to Israel Adesanya, there's a backlash against that where people act like it's the norm, you know, or it acts like it's more prominent than it is, I guess.
Probably just because recency bias. So there's more people coming out and saying that they didn't like this or that. Like, there's plenty of people that didn't like his walkout. There's people that don't like the trash talk in general. I'm sure that it would go for other people, but people that, like you said, I think want to make something more than what it is.
Because I just feel like when Israel won that fight, the immediate fucking Twitter reaction was going back against the people disliking Israel. But I don't feel like there was any more hate on Israel than there is on any other fighter.
Especially at that least level. Anyone that's as visible as him.
Right. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I have bad perception of it, but I just wanted to bring that up because it's something I've noticed.
Something that I have not, because I am not on Twitter like that. So I will not speak upon it.
MMA Twitter is a nasty, nasty place.
It's a weird place. Like, sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's fucking weird.
Yeah. But yeah, I understand your point. I definitely see it, but I don't see it necessarily as a lot more, a lot less than any other relatively mainstream fighter.
I brought up George St. Pierre earlier. He said he would be interested in fighting Khabib for the right price. Was that the quote, Brendan?
No, the way I read the headline was, if Khabib says he's game, GSP's game. I didn't see anything about a price tag, but there was probably definitely a price tag
involved. I just feel like we're always fucking hearing from George St. Pierre, so I'll do this if this. All the fucking time. Once
he's
a
not
month,
fight.
What we hear from George St. Pierre said, I'll do this if this happens. Fuck off, George. You're not, at this point, he's no different than anybody else who's fucking retired and unretired seven goddamn times. Go There's away or don't. There's not a difference.
There is a difference. How? He wins retirement fights.
Okay, but he still, knocked the he fuck still out. Fucking retires and then, well, I'll come back if this happens. I'll do this. Either retire or don't.
I agree, but he has an exception because he actually wins his fight. He became a double champ doing so.
Yeah, he came back and fucked up the middleweight division.
I think if you can come back and win, fuck it.
Then don't fight for titles.
It's understandable, but I'm just saying it's not in the same boat as somebody that comes back and gets knocked the fuck out or is not in a compatible
I will say that it took about a year for the middleweight division to get rectified after that whole GSP thing.
Facts.
But now it's better than I think it's ever been.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm just saying it was like he came back, won the title from Michael Bisping. He's like, yeah, I'm going to defend it. Didn't defend it forever. It's like my stomach exploded. It's like, well, why didn't you say that at first? I don't know. It feels like George gets a pass in a lot of ways because he's George. And I think he's the best of all time. Like, I'll say that. I'll take that to my fucking grave unless something changes before then. But it feels like he gets a pass for doing the same shit as fucking Brock Lesnar. When Brock Lesnar does, everybody shits their pants.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree. But I don't think, I mean, GSP isn't going to fight again.
No, I don't think he will either. Do you, Brendan?
No. Khabib doesn't want that, though. He doesn't want that smoke. Khabib loses the GSP. He loses the GSP.
GSP's not getting the 155.
I can't see a world where he does, but everyone around him says he's, like, lighter than most UFC lightweights.
Just
walking around. He just cut, like, he's a smaller man now.
Isn't he, like, 6'1" or some shit?
Yeah, he's a big guy.
I don't buy that.
And they're saying that he's, I mean, James Vick was like 6'2" or whatever.
James
and
Vick
made
sucks.
155.
fucking
I'm
stinks.
Just saying. Also, even if he would, I don't think that would be the best version of GSP.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't want to see it.
I don't see GSP being successful if he somehow cuts all the way down to 155. And I don't see Khabib being better than GSP if he comes up to 170. So it comes down to the weight for me.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
They do it at 165. Then I don't know.
Probably GSP wins.
Probably GSP. And then Cain Velasquez signed with the WWE. I figure we probably don't have a lot to say about this, but I figured we should at least touch on it.
Yeah, just stay retired. Because he said that he notified the UFC of his retirement.
Yeah, it's a good move for him to retire. After that Francis Ngannou fight, just retire, Cain.
Yeah, it's good for him.
It's going to make
100%
bank in the WWE, probably wrestle seven times a year like Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and just do wild flips and stuff.
What is WWE doing, though? Like, Brock Lesnar's the champion, I think. They just signed Kane. He's in a feud with Brock, I believe.
I think they're going to fight.
They're doing something with Tyson Fury.
Yes, Tyson. I got a notification about this.
Yeah,
Tyson Fury is against
Braun Strowman. Maybe,
yeah, that's what it is. And then Kane is going to fight or wrestle Brock Lesnar.
Galaxy brain move by fucking WWE. What if Vince just has Brock Lesnar and Kane Velasquez fight?
It wouldn't go well for Kane Velasquez. I think Brock Lesnar whoops.
Oh, steroids WWE Brock. He fucking rips Kane's throat out.
He rips him in half.
He just fucking
and
breaks
that.
That'd be the shit, though.
That's another thing for Kane. Like, go ahead and get on something and actually look like a scary dude, because he's just flabby and gross compared to WWE guys.
They need to have a real life TLC match.
That would be the ultimate fucking Vince McMahon move, would be to sign both of them and have them actually fight. Vince is an evil genius, and I love him.
That's wild.
I love Vince McMahon. Nobody knows what I'm talking about, but now I have to bring it up. That thread that I sent you that one time, Bryce, of Vince McMahon stories was the greatest thing I've ever read.
It was so amazing. I don't know how anyone could possibly find it, but if you can find a long, long thread about stories about Vince McMahon, he's an egotistical maniac, and I 100% stand that king.
He can't say, like, if you sneeze, Brendan, if you sneeze in front of Vince McMahon, like, he just thinks you're a lesser person because you can't control yourself. It's fucking fantastic.
It's so good.
He called Dana White one time and told him, let's do something, me and you. We can do it at my place or at yours. Dana's like, what? He's like, we'll wrestle at WrestleMania or we'll fight in the UFC. Which one do you want to do? Dana's like, Vince, you're 70.
That would be awesome. It's kind of like the billionaire versus millionaire situation.
Vince is a fucking king.
Now the XFL is officially starting up since they're doing
McMahon
the draft and stuff.
Fucking fought the president. He can fight Dana White.
Donald Trump.
That's such a wild thing to think about. Like, our president was a part of WrestleMania.
He took a Stone Cold Stunner. He shaved Vince McMahon's head on pay-per-view.
He took a stunner, and now he's fucking golfing and fucking being the president of the United States and shit.
Oh, my goodness.
Another MMA connection. Bobby Lashley was in that fight. Shout out Bobby Lashley. Could only fight in Kansas because they have a weak-ass commission.
Oh, man.
I was at the WrestleMania.
We live in a simulation, my guys.
We do. One of the greatest tweets of all time was a picture because Linda McMahon, Vince's wife, was in Donald Trump's cabinet for a moment. And it was a picture of, like, Vince and his whole family, like his kids and their kids and the president. And it was like Stone Cold Steve Austin has stunned like 68% of the people in this picture or something like that.
It's hard to, like, if everyone knew that around the world, because I'm sure most people don't, that just adds to the tomfoolery that is currently the United States of America.
Years from now, people are going to, like, stumble upon WrestleMania 23 and be like, is that the former president of the United States shaving Vince McMahon's head with Umaga?
Oh, what a scene.
Let's get into picks for this weekend's card. UFC Boston there. Picking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fights, which I believe is the entire main card. This is a pretty good fucking card. Boston card usually is. It's weird that it's in October. It's usually Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. But, however, it is this weekend. It's on Friday, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't like that.
No, don't like
that. But I guess they're trying not to compete with college football.
It's still like next weekend's card is Saturday, and that's in the fucking afternoon, I believe. I don't know. But yeah, Friday card in Boston, picking 5 fights. First one we're picking, Macy Barber's a -135 favorite against Jillian Robertson, +105 underdog.
Oh, good. I think the Tito Ortiz 30 for 30 comes out tonight.
Does it?
I think that might be a thing.
It's tonight, I think.
Probably won't watch that.
I'm definitely watching it.
Are you live?
Oh, not live.
I was about to say. That's a move. Macy Barber -135, Jillian Robertson +105. I was leaning towards Jillian Robertson because I feel like there's a little bit of overhype on Macy Barber, like her one signature win is against fucking J.J. Aldrich in a fight that she had to come back to win, no less. But when you look at fucking Jillian Robertson's resume, it's not much more impressive. So I'm going to pick Macy Barber here. I do think she's a little bit better of a fighter based on her resume, even though it is only a slight advantage. The odds show that it's only a slight advantage. So I'm going to pick Macy Barber to win this one.
I have Macy Barber as well. She's 7-0. She's undefeated, obviously. Don't really know much about these two fighters. She's the favorite, undefeated. Got to go with Macy.
All I know about Macy Barber is that she beat J.J. Aldrich and she claims to have fucked Paige VanZant's husband.
Are you serious?
Or like he wanted to fuck her or something. I don't know.
Yeah. There was some drama there. That whole thing.
Macy Barber's not bad looking.
Moving it forward. I am going to go with Macy Barber as well. Her nickname is The Future and The Future is here, boys.
Hell yeah, brother. Joe Lozon, hometown boy, +120 underdog to Jonathan Pierce, the -150 favorite. I was leaning towards Joe Lozon here with his experience, being in his hometown, was one of the best lightweights in the world at one point, but buddy, it has not been good lately for Joe Lozon. Jonathan Pierce, meanwhile, is knocking motherfuckers out, looking nasty. So, I'm going to pick Jonathan Pierce. I think this is probably Joe Lozon's retirement fight in his hometown. Has been on a fucking terrible skid lately. Probably going to take another loss here. I think this is the final time we see Joe Lozon in the octagon.
I have Joe Lozon. Lozon is definitely on the downfall, like you said, losing 3 fights in a row. But he's fighting in his hometown. That's going to get him up. He's going to fucking win this fight against fucking Pierce.
Joe Lozon's going to lose, buddy. I hate to break it to you, but he's probably going to get knocked out. Probably within the first 2 rounds, but I think it'll be in the first. He stinks. He hasn't won in over 2.5 years, and that was against Marcin Held. And yeah, he's bad. He's really bad. So I have Pierce.
The controversial Greg Hardy, -280 favorite against Ben Sicilian, +220 underdog. This feels like an easy pick. Greg Hardy, while not the most refined fighter in the world, not necessarily the most technically skilled. Bryce is peeling a banana, very distracting. He's dangerous. He has raw talent. He has power. And Ben Saucily has drawn on abs in his picture on Tapology. So I feel like that's the way this fight goes, and I feel like Greg Hardy gets an easy win here.
Yeah, this fight is very self-explanatory. The odds say it all. Fucking Greg Hardy by knockout.
Bryce is chewing his banana, so I'm going to say it's time it's time we get Greg Hardy to actually fight a real fighter now. Like, what are we waiting for?
So, I also have something to add on to that after my pick. I'm also going with Greg Hardy here. I think that this is going to be the best guy he fights because
he's drawn on abs, sir.
He might have drawn on abs, but he does say he's the number one heavyweight in the Australia and New Zealand region that isn't in one of the major scenes according to Tapology. And so I would imagine that this guy is going to be about as good as like a Junior Albini, a Tai Tuivasa type. Because I think Tai Tuivasa stinks out loud.
Yeah, he stinks.
So if Greg Hardy gets past Ben, like I said, I think he will. I think that he should fight like Tai Tuivasa. That should be his next fight.
Yair Rodriguez is -115. Jeremy Stevens -115.
Before we move on, I want to ask something. Oh. What are the odds that next week we're talking about some suspect stuff that Greg Hardy does in
a
cage?
It's a guarantee. Something weird is going to happen with Greg Hardy. He's taking over for Yoel Romero in that aspect. If Greg Hardy's around, some weird shit's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Bryce takes a big bite of his banana. Yair Rodriguez, Jeremy Stevens, both -115, so a pick him here. I don't know if you can necessarily call it a rematch. More of a rebooking, I guess. A second try. They were supposed to fight in Mexico City last month. There's an eye poke. Jeremy Stevens couldn't open his eye. Yair Rodriguez called Jeremy Stevens a punk, basically. So a rematch, rebooking, whatever you might call it here. When the fight was originally announced, I was leaning Jeremy Stevens. With it being in Mexico City, I felt like that gave Yair Rodriguez an edge, A, being in his home country, B, a cardio advantage. I think that would be a huge advantage for Yair Rodriguez. This is back in Boston. Yair Rodriguez, I feel, is going to go in there and fight emotional. He's a young guy. Not super experienced, and I feel like he's really fucking mad about the eye poke that he threw, which is a weird situation in itself. And Jeremy Stephens is not a guy that you want to go in there and make mistakes against. While he's a kind of a fucking oaf and kind of a dumb guy himself and not necessarily the best fighter in the world, if you make mistakes against Jeremy Stephens, he can definitely make you pay. And I feel like Yair Rodriguez is going to go in there, fight emotionally, and make mistakes. So I feel like Jeremy Stephens gets a win here.
I'm the complete opposite. I think Jeremy Stephens' emotion dictates this fight. Whether he knows how to fight emotional and control his emotions or not will determine if he wins or not. I don't think him fighting emotionally will benefit him in the circumstance against a really good Yair. So in saying that, I think Yair wins. And Yair's only loss in the UFC is to Edgar. So I feel like Yair's going to continue to uprise.
Yes.
Jeremy Stephens is overrated.
I agree with that.
He's lost 4 of his last 7 fights, 2 in a row. Although he may be the best, he's or the most power, hitter. Or whatever the fuck he said.
Hardest hitter at 145, baby.
Yeah. He's just light. Yeah.
I am also going to go with Yair. Talking about how he's only lost to Frankie Edgar, he was probably legitimately 1 second away from losing to Chan Sung Jung in his last fight that he actually fought. But, I mean, he's looked really good against the guys that he's fought. And, I mean, he hasn't fought the best guys, like, in his UFC career. He has fought Leonardo Morales.
Killer.
Charles Rosa.
Killer.
He beat Dan Hooker, but this was in 2015, so Dan Hooker was not that good.
It was Dan Prostitute then.
Okay.
That's tough.
Andre Feely, I feel like we've talked about him before.
Stinks.
He's very...
Stinks! Yeah,
very meh.
Stinks.
Alex Caceres.
Stinks.
He stinks out loud.
Stinks!
BJ Penn in 2017.
Stinks!
Worse then he fought Frankie Edgar.
Yeah, he got killed by Frankie Edgar. That was a fucking murder job.
It was. And then, though, he went the distance against Chan Sung Jung in November of last year. And, like I said, in the very last second of the fight, knocked him out with a spinning elbow, which was wild. With that being said, like I said, I'm going with Yair. I think, though, that it's going to be a matter of he's just going to outpoint him. I don't think that... unless he fights too emotionally and gets caught, I don't think that Jeremy Stephens is going to be able to land anything of real substance on Yair.
How do you think this fight ends, Brendan? Did you say that?
I would say probably decision.
I think Jeremy Stephens TKO second round.
If it goes to a decision, do you think that Jeremy Stephens could outpoint Yair?
No. No.
Yeah.
I do not.
I agree, and that's kind of what I think the most likely scenario is that Yair, because he is 27, so he's not that young, that he fights with a decent head on his shoulders and keeps the distance and just outpoints Jeremy Stephens. That's what he should do, at least.
Dominic Reyes, minus 165 favorite against the former middleweight champion Chris Weidman, a plus 145 underdog, making his 205-pound debut. Has not gone well lately for Chris Weidman. Lost 3 of his last 4, I believe. Granted, he was winning against Jacare Souza before he got knocked out. He was winning against Yoel Romero before he ate a flying knee. But he lost 3 of his last 4. Only win over Kelvin Gastelum. Dominic Reyes is really good. I don't know how good he is necessarily. I don't know if he's a champion at 205. I think he's a very legit contender. I don't know if he is the elite of the elite. That being said, I don't think Chris Weidman is good anymore. So, Chris Weidman moving up in weight, he's fallen off a significant cliff. I think that's significantly lesser than a legitimate prospect who has a question mark on his ceiling. So, I think Dominic Reyes gets a win over Chris Weidman here fairly easily.
Every time we bring up Chris Weidman, it just makes me think of my loyalty. Because I stuck with Anthony Pettis, and Bougie did not stick with Weidman.
I didn't like Weidman as much. I had never liked Weidman as much as you like Pettis.
I'm just saying, that's I just think of my loyalty, and I love it. But I got Dominic Reyes as well. Weidman sucks. He's got TKO'd or knocked out in his 4 of his last 5 fights. So not only is he losing his fights, he's going to sleep. He fucking sucks now. I once liked him as well, though. Kind of sucks that he went on this downfall, but it happens. He loses. Reyes wins.
Yeah, Chris Weidman. Luke Rockhold changed Chris Weidman's whole life. Like, legitimately. And then Yoel Romero made it worse. Gegard Mousasi made it even worse than that. Calvin Gastelum was a little relief. And then Jacare Souza knocks you out. You're a bum.
My reaction when Chris Wyman was winning against Jacare Souza and then gets melted, I legitimately went, oh, no.
That's funny. I mean, it's just, it's a joke at this point. He's a joke. And Dominic Reyes is going to finish him, probably. He'll probably knock him out in the third round.
That's the type of sound clip that ends up on a highlight reel when he knocks out Dominic Reyes. He's a joke. It's not like Skip Bayless or something.
Yeah, probably. But I'm going to go with Dominic Reyes here.
Is Chris Weidman the biggest current example of somebody who felt like they were on top of the world and is now like kind of nothing? Is there a bigger example of that currently fighting?
Is Anderson Silva still fighting?
But I mean, it's like, it almost feels different because we've kind of accepted what Anderson is in a way. Like, he's just Anderson Silva now. He's not Anderson Silva. He's just Anderson Silva. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like Anderson Silva had a gradual downfall compared to getting knocked out 4 out of his last 5 fights, even though he's lost more previously than that, too. Weidman's lost fights before the last 4 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't sound like it's less gradual than what I just said, but still.
I think another example of that could be Luke Rockhold.
Yeah.
But Weidman's a more prominent example because he was a bigger name in his heyday.
Yeah. And Rockhold had been around longer, too. He fought in Strikeforce and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy how, like, I think I have to say this every time we bring up Chris Weidman, but there was a time where I thought he was the best fighter in the world, and now he's going to lose to Dominic Reyes in Boston.
Yeah.
It's a fall from grace.
Like, looking at his resume, let me pull it up again, because
Mark Munoz, baby. That's the only pre-Anderson one I remember, is Mark Munoz.
So, or even, I'm not even going to talk about his pre-champion stuff.
Mark Munoz.
So he beat Anderson Silva, and in that, when he was, like, acting like he was knocked out, and then Weidman punched him again and actually was knocked out. Mm-hmm. And you said you saw that fight live, right?
Yep.
And Weidman was winning it in your eyes?
Yep.
And to me, that also corresponds with when Anderson Silva was on his downfall.
Yeah, we didn't know that Anderson was falling off yet, yeah.
And then, obviously...
And maybe that caused the downfall. Maybe that was still peak Anderson Silva in that fight, and that's what changed Anderson Silva. But it at least puts a question mark on it on Weidman's part.
Yes, especially looking back on it.
Correct.
And let's see, 2013. So then I'm pulling up how old Anderson Silva is.
While you're doing that, I think Weidman's championship reign was all timing. It was completely luck because not only did he fight, I think going off what you guys were saying, I don't think that's what caused Anderson to be on the downfall. I think he was definitely done with his prime. And
he was 38 at that time. So
yeah,
he might have very much, he was well out of his physical prime. And so
he was out of his fight.
It was just a matter of time until someone like Chris Weidman comes in.
And not only that, he fought an out of his prime Lyoto Machida.
Out of his prime, yep. Lyoto Machida, off of TRT, out of his prime Vitor Belfort.
Mm-hmm.
They all seemed great at the time.
That's exactly, those were the points that I was going to bring up. This was the first post TRT Vitor. I think with TRT, Vitor destroys, melts Chris Weidman like the next three guys did after him.
And Chris Weidman loses to Luke Rockhold, who at that time felt like a very forgivable loss. Since then, Luke Rockhold's been knocked out by Michael Bisping, almost got knocked out by David Branch, got knocked out by Yoel Romero. He's lost again since then, I believe, right?
Jan Błachowicz melted him.
He fucking lost to Jan Błachowicz. So Luke Rockhold stinks too. So the guy that Weidman lost to that sent him into his stinkness also stinks. So
yeah,
Chris Weidman.
And then he lost to Yoel and Gegard, beat Kelvin, who's, I think that was his first real test at middleweight. And so I guess it is what it is. He had a really good game plan, I will say for sure. But then he gets knocked out against Jacare. So he stinks. His entire UFC career has been a matter of timing. And I hope that after this weekend, he sinks into permanent irrelevance. I'm done with him.
Damn. Retire, bitch.
I hope so. It'd make me happy, truly happy.
Wow.
I don't dislike him, but I don't like him at all.
And with that, you can follow everything we do. You can follow us on social media at Untitled MMA on Twitter and Instagram, Untitled MMA on Facebook. You can visit the website, untitledmma.com, visit the store. If you want to advertise on the show or do anything like that, you can visit the contact page on that same website, untitledmma.com. You can rate, review, subscribe, download, and all those fun things to this podcast on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Pretty much anywhere there's podcasts, this one is there and available for you there. Is there anything else, fellas?
That sounds good to me.
Hell yeah.
Is there anything, Brendan, you want to plug?
Davis Family Racing on Facebook.
The only thing I want to plug in is my phone because it's dying. No, it's blank.
I thought you were going to go somewhere else with that. The only thing I want to plug. That was going a different route.
Brendan is got some good grades. I just want to shout that out.
Oh, yeah.
It went down.
Doing his things.
I have a C now.
Whoa.
He has mostly good grades.
How are your grades, Bryce?
Excellent.
Hell yeah.
I got a C on a midterm. My friend that I was going to cheat off of, but she was going way too fast. Luckily, I didn't get to do that because she was going too fast. Got an F on it. So
he
says everybody typically does really bad on the first one because it's like unexpected. Then the second one's usually better. So I guess that's hope.
What class?
That
is
some hope.
Visual communications.
That sounds like a fake class.
It does. There's so many. Shit. Me now being a senior in college or university for you folks across the pond.
Hell
if we
yeah.
have any listeners across the pond. If so, give us a comment or review or wherever. I want to hear from you.
What's the
Tell
fake?
Us that you're.
Go ahead.
Huh?
Go ahead.
I want to hear from you. Tell me, like, if you're what country you're from.
What's the fakest class you've taken, Bryce?
Actually, next semester, I'm going to take a class called Housing Decisions.
Come on.
One thing that I found out that I didn't know existed in college, there's gym class in college.
Hell yeah.
Yep. I took a gym class. I took a physical conditioning class. It's 2 days of working out and then 1 day of going and sitting in a class learning about physical health and fitness.
I'm not paying for this shit. I'm not paying to take a gym class.
Didn't you take a jazz class, Bryce?
Oh, yeah. I took a Foundations of Jazz class online in the spring.
For an international business degree.
Mm-hmm, exactly right. It's wild. College. I had to go to concerts and write about them. It's like, who do you think I am?
College is fucking stupid.
It's very silly, at the least. But you already plugged everything?
It's spooky season. Any spooky season related things?
Nope, I'm not doing anything fucking spooky season. I'm not seeing any spooky season movies. No haunted houses, no nothing. That's fun. I'm in college working.
You can watch a movie.
I know. But I'm not doing any spooky season shit, and I'm sad, fucking lonely.
Damn. Well, me not being lonely, I'm going to go to a pumpkin patch this weekend.
Hell yeah, that's the ultimate couple's move, is a pumpkin patch.
Yes. I saw that... a tweet earlier, if I find it, I'll send it to you guys, saying something like, going to a pumpkin patch is the most expensive way to let other people know that you're with somebody.
It's like, the only people who go to pumpkin patches are people who have kids or people who are in a relationship. Nobody's ever gone to a pumpkin patch by themselves.
Pumpkin patches suck by yourself.
Why
I want to go on a date and go to a pumpkin patch, though.
Haven't you done that before?
Yeah.
I remember a profile picture.
I was on a downfall after that.
The pumpkin patch ruined his relationship.
Well, hopefully it's not the same for me.
Curse
otherwise,
of the
I'll be a sad panda.
Yeah, that, if the pumpkin patch ruins your relationship at this point,
just stay away from pumpkin patches.
It's a real thing. If mine it goes down after that, it's a curse.
Bryce went to a wedding with a real-ass mariachi band. That's crazy.
Yeah, and they went table to table asking people what song to play, and people just knew songs that mariachi band should play.
Now, I would have requested like some Billy Joel or something and seen what would have happened.
Well, I don't know how many of them spoke English, so that's a legitimate
thing. I would have said El Billy Joel.
It was lit, though. Mexican weddings are dope.
How was the food?
That's what matters.
The food, it was honestly some of the most disappointing Mexican food I've ever had.
That's sad to hear.
It was, but the reception was pretty dope.
There's this Mexican place that opened like not far from here. It's right down the road. It's Mexican and American barbecue. It's American barbecue and Mexican, I should say, which is a weird combination, I feel like. But their fucking nachos are incredible.
Whose?
It's called The Cookout. It's down Edison there. Same road.
I don't care where it's at, but it's cool.
Because I'm not good with directions. That's why I said that. Sometime when I'm home on break.
Their homemade nachos are incredible. But their taco shells are the same way as the nachos, so they're hard shell tacos. Don't know how you feel about that. But
not great.
Nachos are 100% a fucking appetizer. If you get it for a meal, go fuck yourself. Did you get it for a meal?
No. Your grandmother got the... That was a weird thing to say on the podcast. She got the nachos. I had some of the nachos. I had wings.
It's just you having a lovely meal with your mother. That's all.
Yeah.
We have fallen all the way off. Is it time to wrap it up?
We already did the plugs and shit, didn't we?
It's not fucking crazy to talk about Mexican food and Mexican weddings and the pumpkin patch at the end of the podcast. That's what the end of the podcast is for.
Not normally after we plug everything.
I think that's the way to do it, though, so people can shut it off if they want to. Well, we're talking about pumpkin patches that ruined Brendan's relationship. Curse of the Pumpkin Patch is 100% the name of this episode, by the way.
People are going to be like, MMA, Curse of the Pumpkin Patch. Do these even coexist? Yes, they do.
They don't. And I hope that some people listen throughout the podcast and see where we're getting the title from. If you're one of those people, I also want to hear from you. Shoot us a tweet or a DM on any of our social media platforms, or comment, leave a review saying it. I want to hear from you. I want some interaction.
Something that would be great to do as a side project one time would be go back and do a compilation of all of the lines that coincide with the title of the episode. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my goodness, that would take so long.
Yeah, it sounds like a nightmare.
If we're going to do that, we need to do it sooner rather than later.
Because not all of them... even have, because some of it's like UFC 245 preview.
What happened to that dude that wanted us to like plug him in the podcast or whatever? Is that a thing anymore?
Oops. I can still email.
Throw back to him and throw back to Simon. We failed.
Yeah.
Well, Simon. I don't even know what his new Instagram is.
Simon.
I could figure it out.
I miss his accent.
I think it's MMA news instead of UFC news or whatever the fuck.
I don't know.
Dude, I can still email that guy though.
Let's do this.
Yeah, do that, and because I've since downloaded like 3 episodes, I haven't listened to a single one. But there might be something, a little collab coming up.
Oh, you listened to his show?
No, I didn't. Oh. I just have them downloaded.
I was about to say, should I at least shout him out since I didn't take the time to email him back?
No.
Ruthless.
If we decide we're gonna collab, we'll shout him out then.
All right, fair enough. I will email him back. Remind me tomorrow. I don't want to do it tonight.
All right, sounds good.
All right, is that a wrap?
It's a wrap.